Good morning, good afternoon, guys. We're back for another Musicology. It's been a while, and this is the first one on camera, actually. That's how long it's been.
Oh.
I'm joined with Bo. He is a longtime friend of mine, and you weren't on an episode before, were you?
No, I have not been.
Okay. I must be thinking of streams that we did. But we're here to talk about the top 10, not the top 10, our top 10 favorite drummers. I don't know how Bo looked at it, but I looked at it as just my favorite, you know, how they influenced me. Let's just jump right into, we have some honorable mentions because, you know, there's more than 10 that we like.
Yeah, sure. Let me get my list up here.
I got four, so I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Stylistically, I can't play like this, so that's why he's not like a super big influence on me, but I had to at least put him on this list because recently we lost Joey Jordison of, formerly of Slipknot, and, that's gonna be my first honorable mention. Rest in peace.
He's actually part of my, my top 10 favorites, mm-hmm. but, absolutely. I think it's great that we both have him on the list. Mm-hmm. And yes, absolutely, Joey Jordison, rest in peace. Let's see. My list is kind of hectic. I really don't have a top 10 in order.
Right.
So it's mostly just my top 10 favorites, and I have one favorite, which probably at the end, him and I will guess each other's favorites and see if we get it right.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I guess as far as honorable mentions, I would say my first honorable mention would be Chad Smith.
Okay.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And spoilers, he's on mine.
Yeah, so
always, be a lot of that.
Always been really a fan of the Chili Peppers groove, and mm-hmm. Chad Smith really brings it home with all of those beats.
He's so good, obviously, but he looks, when he's playing, he looks like he's almost just hitting whatever. Like, mm-hmm. he's just so loose that he's just all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
So it looks like he's just hitting whatever, but there's clearly a rhyme and a reason for everything.
Yeah. So you said he's one of your honorable mentions as well? Or
he's on the list somewhere.
So you named one off mine, I named one off yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it still blows my mind, first time I saw him. Well, it was a documentary movie on VH1 that I saw him, but Rick Allen from Def Leppard.
Ah, you know what? I actually meant to put him on my honorable mentions list.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know, like, before that documentary movie, I didn't know that he had only one arm.
Yeah, and the things that he can do are pretty impressive, so.
I mean, I can't do it with two of this stuff that he does.
So. Yeah. Yeah, neither can I, especially anymore. But, so actually I did mean to have him on there, but.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Okay, so not really always been a huge jazz fan, but I've always enjoyed watching Buddy Rich play.
Okay.
So I think he's definitely on my honorable mentions list of my favorite. Obviously, Buddy Rich is phenomenal. Like, definitely in the top, you know,
I mean, there's a ton of people. There's going to be a ton of people.
Yeah.
For me personally, spoilers, mine's mainly in the rock scene.
Oh, yeah. No, mine as well.
But I do have an appreciation for other styles of drumming.
Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa, like both of those. There's so many more. But
yeah,
so he was also on my honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. I got, for anybody that knows me, this might surprise them that he isn't in my top 10, but Vinnie Paul, also. Oh. Also, rest in peace.
He's in my top 10. That's hilarious.
But
your honorable mentions are in my top favorites.
Yeah. they got pushed out for like a couple people that you probably
Oh, I'm sure.
Either don't know or, you know.
Okay.
Maybe probably didn't impact you the same way.
I know. I think I have at least one on my list that you might not know.
Yeah.
But that's what's great about this.
You know, oh, yeah.
Because after we're done here, we're probably just going to watch videos of all these drummers we don't know and be like...
Yeah, anyway, I don't know, you know.
All right, let's see. How many have we gone through so far? Three?
I've done three. This might be your last one, but I have one more. Or do you... Are you...
No, actually, I have 14 now. So. All right, so yeah, the next thing. One, I guess, on my honorable mentions would be Stuart Copeland.
Don't know.
From the Police.
Oh, okay.
You know him.
See, I might not know their name, but I know who they
are.
Yeah,
from the Police. I mean, I used to love...
He's, yeah.
Listening to, I mean, like...
There's a documentary, side tangent, there's a documentary on Netflix about drumming.
Yeah.
He's in there, Chad Smith's in there, you have to watch it.
All right, I will. But yeah, just the Police always got really nice grooves.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Stuart Copeland's style.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a fifth one in here because...
Okay.
I don't know why.
You just remembered?
Yes.
That's what's been happening to me. It's like I was trying to come up with a good list and had a bunch in my head. And once I finally got them down, I had forgotten so many. So
yeah. Then I couldn't remember.
I keep coming back and I'm like Vinnie Paul. I just remembered him last night.
Right.
And yeah. I was like, oh, Vinnie Paul. I wanted him in my top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't intentionally leave out females. There just isn't a lot of them. So, they mm-hmm. weren't in my forefront of my mind.
Right.
But this one, I didn't know of her until that documentary. That's what made me think of it just now. She is the original drummer, I believe, of the band Hole.
Hmm.
They were on Rock Band. That's...
Hole. I don't even remember that being Rock Band.
I don't even know their... I don't know their songs. She's currently in Eagles of Death Metal. Again, I don't know much. I know of them. But more notably, and this is what I've been watching of her, she, I didn't say her name yet, but she was a replacement drummer in Motley Crue one time.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know about that at all, and I'm a big Motley Crue fan.
Oh, okay.
So her name is Samantha Maloney.
Samantha Maloney. I do not.
And
I've
she,
never heard of her.
I mean, on those Motley Crue songs specifically, she just tears them up. She's. I was like, wow, if, like Tommy Lee ever. They're not even a thing right now.
Yeah.
But, like, she could do it full time.
Absolutely.
So.
Actually, that reminds me, you know, it was a good point you brought up. I also don't have any female drummers on my list, but. Again, not really intentional. I really don't
have
any favorites.
There's not a lot of them. Yeah.
But I will say, if we're talking honorable mentions, shoot, got to look up her name now because I forgot. But she is currently the drummer of Skillet.
Oh.
You know her name.
Not on the spot.
I know, I keep forgetting. Jen Ledger,
she's
when
phenomenal.
She came to Skillet for the first time, and Mike and I found out about her, we were like, whoa, and she sings,
and at the time,
and she's a beautiful singer,
and at the time, I think she's around our age,
yeah.
So like at the time, she was like 19,
right,
touring the world with Skillet, like,
right.
You know, so it was pretty crazy,
yeah.
I mean, now that we thought of her, yeah, she's an honorable mention.
Absolutely. She tears it up.
Yeah. You got one more? I don't remember.
I think I have one more. Let's see. I've named off Buddy Rich, Stuart Copeland. That's all I've named off, right? No. Chad Smith, Buddy Rich, Stuart Copeland. Okay, so yeah, I actually have one more that all I right. can put in the
just
honorable
keep,
mention.
Yeah, just keep formality. I'll... do my last one.
Okay, go ahead.
So, whatever, I'll just say it. Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden.
That's actually my last one.
There you go.
I actually kind of subbed in Clive Burr with that because they were both phenomenal.
I don't even know Clive Burr
wasn't even with them. He was only with them for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
But then Nico McBrain came in.
How many albums did he play on, do you know?
I think just the first one.
Just the first one?
I'm pretty sure.
So they lost the singer, or they changed singers and lost the drummer.
Yes, but Clive Burr still...
Is he alive?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
To be honest.
I think he might have...
should know.
I don't know. We don't have to get
But there. Anyway, that's really funny that that's yeah. both of our last ones. Nico McBrain.
Yep.
Iron Maiden. Did we say that?
Yeah, he's from Iron Maiden.
Okay, all right.
That one, like, years ago, I wouldn't have even put him on. Like, I always knew he was good or whatever. Yeah. But with the, I don't know if it's current project, Breaking the Fourth Wall, but the guys I was playing with, we were doing some Iron Maiden songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I kind of came to appreciate his work a little more.
Absolutely. Didn't they want you to play Run of the Hills?
No.
Oh, no, thank God. Endurance wise, it's got to be one of the hardest.
That one I would have been like, no, I'm good. But so yeah, let's top 10 time.
Let's dig into the top 10. I guess since it's still your turn. I suppose.
Yeah, I'll go first. It's fine. My number 10, I literally put him in the list like 5 minutes before filming. Scott Phillip from Alter Bridge.
Oh, I heard you
talking
earlier. Scott Phillips. All right.
Yep. I've advanced in the last few years, and I still can't wrap my head around half the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
To actually do it, I mean.
Yeah, very technical, very highly skilled drummer there.
My favorite thing that I ever, it's not stealing, because there's so much stuff drummers do, it's not really stealing.
Right.
But, like, one thing that I kind of took from him is he'll be playing a beat, like, on the ride,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take my left hand and, like, do an accent on with the hi-hat.
Yeah.
Like, open it and close it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a technical term for that, I don't know it.
I'm not sure there is.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely a cool technique to throw in.
So I've not greatly, but I've used to do that
mm-hmm.
in like some Red Cadet songs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just always been one of my favorites.
All right. My number 10, we'll say. I guess I'll start with Ginger Baker.
Okay.
From Cream.
He was a name that I looked at, and I was like, I mean, obviously I know how awesome he is.
I should know more to actually elaborate on why I like him so much, but all I can think of right now is just Sunshine of Your Love, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He played for Cream. And I don't know, that's like the only song that is like popping in my head.
Yeah, I don't
drum
know.
I don't know
I can tell you what it is.
Drum wise, it's not even like crazy impressive, but it's just
definitely different enough it would take.
It's groovy.
Yeah, it would take some learning.
I've heard a lot of other Cream songs, but I just can't, nothing stands out at me that where the drums are like a huge, huge part of it. But all I know is that skill wise, groove wise, he's always been one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely did influence me when I was playing.
Yeah.
I did a lot more tom work.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next one on my list, number 9, he kind of for a summer, or it maybe it wasn't even summer. Anyway, a specific time in the Red Cadets, he influenced me, like, when the album that he did came out. And it's actually Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl. He should have been on my list, to be honest. He should have been, but...
Yeah, people often forget that he plays drums.
Mm-hmm.
But he did, I don't know if you remember the album, but Them Crooked Vultures.
It was, yeah, it was him. Yeah, I forgot that he actually played for that.
Yeah, it was him on drums, Josh Hemme from Queens of the Stone Age on guitar and vocals.
And then the bassist.
John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones.
Yeah, so it, like that project was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was only one album, but it's still so good to go back and listen to those songs.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know, that album came out and I was just obsessed with it. So it influenced a lot of...
You showed it to me, I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I guess I'll go on a little tangent. I don't care about Nirvana.
Yes, this has always been a thing. Mike doesn't really give...
I mean, I'll get the hate in the comments. I don't care. Like, I think they're highly overrated.
I have always thought that Kurt Cobain was highly overrated.
Okay. That's an even better point.
But the band itself, I enjoy their music. Absolutely. I've always enjoyed their music.
Oh, and I'm not saying I don't like some songs, but...
Right. But they're not like...
I don't lose my mind over it.
They're not crazy. I mean, they might have been... They were part of like the grunge movement.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But I don't think they were necessarily...
I wouldn't even say forefront. I was gonna say like they might have been the forefront of it.
Yeah.
But they weren't the best band to come out of the grunge.
Right. Okay.
You know, in fact, like I would say live, they're one of the worst bands.
Really?
Well, maybe not Dave Grohl and the bass player. Yeah. Okay. Like Kurt Cobain can't sing a damn lick live. Like,
well, he sung.
And sometimes he's doing it on purpose and not trying, but.
He sung it a lot. He sung, what was that one song that you just showed it to me last time I was here, and it was...
Oh, About a Girl?
The cover.
Yeah.
Was it?
Puddle of Mud.
Puddle of Mud. Oh, yeah. My God. Well, Kurt Cobain, obviously, sang it better than Puddle of Mud. That was a pretty ridiculous song.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty ridiculous cover.
It was pretty bad.
All right. Anyway.
Yep.
Moving on. Let's see. How much time we have?
We got all kinds of time.
All right. Well, I know we already mentioned this before, but Vinnie Paul would probably be my number 9.
Okay.
The one song that jumps out at me is 13 Steps to Nowhere.
You always like that one.
I love that one.
I couldn't play it.
I love that it's on Rock Band, too. Yeah. You could actually, like... But
I gotta revisit it. I don't remember.
I'm not gonna make a fool of myself trying to beatbox the beat. But
no.
Look it up. It's an amazing song. Pantera, 13 Steps to Nowhere. Vinnie Paul, rest in peace.
I mean, if we're gonna throw a couple songs out there, Mouth for War.
All right. Like, let's throw a few more songs. Mouth for War.
We can't. We should have said this first. Becoming.
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh. Well, I'll have to remind you after. Because it's one of the craziest drum, like, songs ever.
What was the other one?
I mean, I can start throwing out. 5 Minutes Alone.
Well, Five Minutes Alone. I'm broken. Drag the Waters. I'm trying to think of the one, though.
Primal Concrete Sledge?
No, it was...
This Love?
The Great...
Okay. Oh, The Great...
You know what I'm talking about. Can't think of the name of the song.
Great Southern Trendkill?
Yes, yeah. Great Southern... The actual song, right? There was a song
on that album. I think so. I don't know. I don't know that album very well.
Yeah. That was the one with...
I think that was Drag of the Waters.
That was the one with Drag the Waters and 13 Steps to Nowhere.
I think Drag the Waters is the only one I know, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, phenomenal drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy double kick.
I got to see him live once.
You're lucky.
When he played with Hell Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
All right.
Couldn't see him because, like, his drums were so damn big. Literally didn't see him at all, but he was there.
But he was there. You could hear him.
He was playing. I felt his kick drum in my chest. So.
Yeah. Probably kicking the crap out of you.
Yeah. So, my number nine, this is probably the most out... Nah, no, I got a couple other ones. This is the only one from this genre, I guess you would say, specifically. Travis Barker.
Oh, here we go. So, I was going to save this till the end, but I was going to say, bonus, let's name some drummers we think are overrated.
Oh, okay.
Travis Barker was one on my list. Very good drummer, don't get me wrong.
No, I know. Yeah.
Absolutely, way better than me. I mean,
just
not that that takes much right
just
now.
Just for just for his ability to how fast of hi-hat work he can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, which comes with punk music anyway.
Yeah.
But like... I can't do it. I've just always liked him. Like, he had that solo album where it was like he had a bunch of rappers on there, so it was all rap stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just thought, you know, I just think he's all over the place pretty cool, so.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that... How do I say this? I think... In my experience, I'll start with that. In my experience, a lot of people who don't really know a lot of drummers,
right,
only think of Travis Barker.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at that point, he's kind of like, and I hate to say this too because I love him, but he's kind of like the Nickelback of drummers. Okay.
Yeah.
You love him, but sometimes you hate to love him because everybody else loves him. In a way.
I've just never had that experience where, like, so many people were talking about him.
That's just my experience.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, there's been at least half a dozen times.
I mean, I just shit on one of the biggest band, one of the more popular bands, like, ever.
Exactly.
It's fine.
I just, at least half a dozen times, I will be talking to somebody and I'll mention that I'm a drummer, and they're like, oh, man, I love Travis Barker. He's so... Blink-182, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Travis Barker's good. You know, there are a lot of other ones that I think are better.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, he's not, like, super technical.
No,
like,
well, I mean,
he's technical, but, like...
He bangs on him.
He's not, like... He's not playing, like, prog, you know?
Right.
He probably could.
If he tried, sure.
But... Anyway.
Let's get off of Travis Barker. Yeah. You're going to get destroyed in the comments here.
Yeah.
Let's see. My next number... Okay, so my number nine was Vinnie Paul.
Mm-hmm.
My number eight. It's hard to decide.
That's why I put numbers beside mine.
I didn't think of that. All right. Then I'll just go with also...
No rush. It's fine.
Well, no. Actually, no, I got it. Terry Bozzio.
You got me. I don't know.
He played in Frank Zappa.
Okay.
Again, I never really listened much to Frank Zappa.
I couldn't tell you a Frank Zappa song.
If you look up Terry Bozzio, Bozzio.
Wait, you might have sent this guy to
me. I'm sure I've shown him to you. He's got this...
Coming back to me.
...insanely large kit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is not to be flashy or showy. It's that he decided that he wanted to be more than just a rhythmic player. He wanted to be a melodic player.
Mm-hmm.
And with drums, you only get one note per drum. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you want to play melodically, you need a lot of drums.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got, I mean... It's a ridiculous piece kit, maybe like 130 piece kit, something like that. It's insane.
I mean, they're
not all drums, obviously. But,
right.
So watch him play, and especially cool is he toured with Korn at one point, and just listening to this crazy, super skilled, just. I guess he's more of a progressive drummer,
mm-hmm.
play with corn, so he's getting super heavy. It's just amazing. It's crazy.
I'll have to check that out. That sounds interesting. My number seven is somebody I kind of mentioned already for the somebody else, but Tommy Lee of Motley Crue.
Oh boy.
Again, not at all the most technical person at all.
That's really funny though.
But he play Motley Crue in itself plays a pretty big part of my musical history. I always credit Motley Crue, Aerosmith, and Guns N' Roses. They were like the first three hard rock things that I liked. So like that was my gateway basically into hard rock and metal. So yeah, he just plays a big part in my journey.
Right. And he is also the second one on my list that I think is drummers that are overrated.
No, I even more so agree with you on that one, just because like, I mean, what'd he do? He had a spinning drum kit.
Yeah, I mean,
like he's flashy, he's cool.
Put on a great show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess
he's not.
I'm also a little biased because I'm not a huge Motley Crue fan.
Right.
There's only a handful of songs that I actually enjoy.
And see, I love.
The rest are just overplayed for me.
Love Motley Crue. There is those overplayed songs, like
maybe I need to listen to them more, different. You know what maybe. I mean? Because I've never really had a hate for Motley Crue. Mm-hmm. They've just never done anything for me.
Yeah.
And then the whole Tommy Lee thing, I'm just like, people again is like,
well, he became a celebrity. The whole family, especially stuff.
Yeah, I get like,
the celebrity
another drummer who like people who aren't drummers knows it. They know is a drummer, and they're like, oh, yeah, Tommy Lee,
Yeah, he's that drummer guy, he and does a lot of drugs.
Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, made a video. So I get it.
And it's also funny, because, like, your top three, like, or not necessarily top three, but your three bands that you just mentioned, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, and Motley Crue, I don't like either Guns N' Roses or Motley Crue. We're best friends.
Yeah.
But, like, I do not like those two bands. Again, maybe I just need to listen to more Motley Crue. I've heard enough of Guns N' Roses, though.
I get it. It's an acquired taste.
I love Slash.
Right. Yeah.
I don't like Axl or his voice.
I get it.
Or his attitude.
I liked his voice in the 80s.
I mean, yeah, there was a point in time where I enjoyed Guns N' Roses songs.
It's so raw and, like, aggressive.
Yeah. But I guess just anymore.
But I don't know. He can't. We don't have to get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not good anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I forget what number that was.
Seven. So, all right. Okay. All right. My number seven, Mitch Mitchell. Jimi Hendrix.
Not on my list, but
crazy drummer.
Yeah.
Jazz influence, or he started out as a jazz drummer. Got in with Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I'm not a walking biography for Mitch Mitchell, but that's the gist.
Yeah.
And he is just phenomenal. Like funky, funky grooves. You can tell he's a jazz drummer just from the intricate, I'm a drummer and I can't even remember. Like paradiddles.
I don't know technical terms.
Oh.
I'm self-taught. I don't know anything like that.
I can't
think. I only know that word because I think you've said something about paradiddles before.
Yeah. I just can't think of what it's called.
I doubt anybody out there has ever seen Great Cadets when they were a thing, but we used to play Purple Haze, so I've watched many videos. I just made it my own because I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah,
I guess I don't want to be wrong, but I'll preference with maybe it's not him that plays on it, because like there's weird where it's like there's Jimi Hendrix and then there's Jimi Hendrix Experience. I don't know if they like crossover members. I don't know how that works.
True. I'm not actually
100%
on that.
One of the craziest drum songs for Jimi Hendrix is Fire.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The guys wanted to play that. I've tried to. I can kind of get it, but it's just not great.
Yeah,
it's very difficult.
It's fast.
Yeah.
And a lot of intricate little,
like there's a lot of accents. Offbeat stuff.
Yeah.
Like specifically at the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have to explain it to you probably, but yeah. So that's a great pick. I should have put him in my honorable mentions, but then I would have had 20 honorable mentions. Yeah. So yeah, I like that pick. You're not gonna like my pick because we already talked about it. Matt Sorum from, he was a replacement for Steven Adler in Guns N' Roses.
Okay. Hey, I have nothing against the drummer from Guns N' Roses. It's just Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Matt Sorum, I think he also played in The Cure at one point.
Oh, really?
And then later on when Slash and Duff McKagan and him left Guns N' Roses, they formed Velvet Revolver, which is where I found him specifically. I didn't even know he was in Guns until later. So, one of my big musical footnote, I guess you would say. One of my memories of like where I was when I heard it, when I seen it, kind of thing. I was at my grandma's house for like a big family get together, and at the time she had like satellite because my uncle bought it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So she had like, it wasn't normal MTV, it was like MTV Hits or something. So it just straight up played music videos of all genres at all times of the day. So I was sitting there and Velvet Revolver's Slither came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and Matt Sorum's just hamming it up, just looking cool, you know. So just been a fan ever since. I think he plays Gretsch drums.
Yeah. I love Velvet Revolver. So like,
oh yeah, great band.
You can't go wrong there. Slash and
Scott Weiland on vocals. Weiland,
yeah.
Like,
although Scott's gone.
Scott's gone now, yeah.
Jeez. Everybody's dying. Rest in peace, Scott Weiland.
Yeah.
I was just looking, I actually thought I had him on here, but I didn't. So Matt's I'm just going to say him now. No.
Oh.
My number six.
I was going to be like, sorry, really surprised.
Is it all right if I move on?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Matt Cameron.
Okay.
You said Matt Sorum, and I was like, oh, yeah, Matt Cameron. Nah. Soundgarden.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I'm not the biggest Soundgarden. Like, I don't. I mean, like, I know Black Hole Sun.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? What is it called? Uncaged? Is that a song? Or what am I thinking of?
I'm not sure. I'm not.
Well, there's Rusty Cage, right?
I haven't actually listened to Soundgarden in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Matt Cameron. Just the way he can just accent in even just, or I should say the way he can make even a slow song
mm-hmm.
like sound really good.
Yeah.
Rhythmically, and like Black Hole Sun is a good example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great song.
Because the tempo there is like, I don't even know, something ridiculous low, like 40.
Yeah.
40 BPM. But yeah, anyway, he's my number six. He was always a big influence on me mm-hmm. when I was playing.
My most recent and, you know, slight knowledge I have is he's in that Pretty Reckless song.
Yeah.
That's him on drums.
Exactly.
Towards the end of the song, like everything stops, but then it does a drum fill.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it comes on, it's just like I get goosebumps. I'm kind of getting them now thinking about that part of the song. So, yeah, that's a rabbit hole I got to go down.
Okay.
All right. So.
So I'm over now. So should I throw out another honorable mention? I guess I have to kick.
Oh, you're over now because you put him.
Because I forgot about him.
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah. Throw another.
Okay.
Another honorable
mention. Oh boy.
I mean, we're so late in the list. Like, you can just give another one. You can. It can be. What was that? Six. This is six squared.
Six squared.
6.2, I don't know.
Okay. The Rev.
Okay.
I'll throw the Rev in there.
He came into my brain. I gotta be honest, I didn't like that band until spoilers later. But
yeah. yeah, I know. You weren't really into
that band
for a while.
More on that later. I'm just going to say that for later.
I was actually a little disappointed. Kristen and I went and saw them live. It was Bullet for my Valentine, Breaking Benjamin, and Avenged.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous on that one.
And Bullet and Breaking Ben were phenomenal. Like, awesome show. And then Avenged came on, and it was just really lacking. I don't know. Hmm. Just show-wise, just wasn't...
Well, they have... I'm not going to remember his damn name now that I want to talk about him. The guy they have, like, he's good, but...
The drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is because all the songs that they have come out with since the Rev died have not had any, like, crazy, intricate, fast...
Yeah, and that was a conscious decision. Drums. You know, like, the Hail to the King album.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a straight rock album.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can play those songs.
But you know? I didn't like it for that reason.
Because okay,
I didn't
yeah.
feel like Avenged anymore.
Not everybody does. I actually rather enjoy, like, Hail to the King.
I'll listen to them.
Shepherds of Fire. Like, I like those songs.
I'll listen to them, but I really, it just doesn't, like, seem right to me.
Yeah, I get you. You know? Yep.
So, anyway, so the Reverend, also, again, rest in peace. Everybody we like's dead.
Yeah, there's a lot. The next one that I have is not dead. We already talked about him. Chad Smith.
Chad Smith, yes, we talked about
him. Number five on mine. He, I keep going back to the Red Cadets as if I'm trying to, like, push. The Red Cadets are dead. Anytime that anybody came up to us and tried to explain our sound, because, not tooting my own horn, but, like, we were so different than everybody. Because we originally were a two-piece. Owen did crazy shit to make his guitar sound fuller. It was just different than anything around here. So anytime they come up and try to describe what we were, they always said we were a mix between Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine. Which, honestly, for both of us, meant the world.
Well, Owen liked to rage, for sure.
Well, yes. But,
I mean, on stage, that's what I meant.
Like, and it wasn't even a conscious thing. That's why it meant so much to us.
Yeah.
Because we grew up playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yeah.
And the theme song for that is Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Guerrilla Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we used to jam a lot of rage, you know, back in the day. So, it's just funny that when we got together, created music, Rage came out. I know I'm talking about Chad Smith, but Rage. we both liked Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. So it's just funny that it came out and...
It came out in your music.
Yeah.
I mean, it influenced you subconsciously. It just came out.
Yeah, subconsciously. Because, like, I wasn't even, you know, fully aware of Chad Smith per se at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I later was like, yeah, wow, really good. I found out some, like, studio stuff that he's done, and, like, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, there's a little more on Chad Smith.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that kind of, like, I think, honestly, we're getting down to the wire here, and I think we're going to have a lot of crossover coming soon.
Maybe.
So, let's see.
I know one that you're going to have that I don't have.
Oh, okay. All right. Probably my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so my number five. This one you probably are not going to know, but you'll know after I tell you.
Yeah.
Chris Penny. He is the most recent drummer for Coheed and Cambria.
Okay.
I know you never really got super into Coheed.
I saw him live.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I did not know.
That's a funny story. Not going to tell it here, though.
We'll get to that in another segment. Anyway, if you listen to the...
like, how recent is he? Just so I...
Oh, I mean, he got in when I was still in college.
Okay, so yeah. So it's definitely the guy that... one of my favorite songs is The Afterman.
Yes, it's definitely... He's probably...
Yeah. That was like 2013-ish.
Yeah. And I think he came on with the Summer of the Black Rainbow album.
Okay. I don't know what album that is.
I had a few of the songs on Rock Band, so I know you played them.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But there's this one called Guns of Summer.
Mm.
That is absolutely insane. The drums, it almost sounds like just noise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really listen, it's just him going insane, and he's just got just the skill level involved with playing that song is crazy. And it's super fast to boot.
Yeah.
So, all right, Chris Penny.
Here we are, Juggernaut's also one of my favorite Coheed.
Yeah, that was him too.
Yeah. I had that one on Rock Band, so that's why I know.
Yeah.
So number four, I'll be pleasantly surprised if you know.
This is probably going to, okay, go ahead.
This might be the reason I played drums. I've been kind of on this venture in the last little bit to, he's a big influence. Before I even knew that I wanted to play drums, he was my drummer. Cause I remember watching him as a very young child and being like, this dude is cool. Like, he's just cool. I don't know. Like, he stuck out on the screen to me. And his name is Kenny Aronoff. So what he was in, and he was in for many years, was John Mellencamp's band.
Ah.
And John Mellencamp, to I guess explain my love for his music, my mom was a big, huge fan, still is, and it's like the only music when I was inside her belly, for whatever, lack of better term, I would react to John Mellencamp's music. So, like, fast forward, you know, I'm like 3, 4, 5 years old. She taped a John Mellencamp concert that was on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to yell at me because I'd watch it over and over and over again. She's like, you're going to ruin the tape. We can't watch it then. I'm like, well, you got to watch it because what's it there for? But, and that's the concert I was referring to. Like, I used to watch that concert and I'm like, he's just bopping around like, playing some pretty intricate stuff for, like, just a folky rock, you know, band.
Right.
So, in fact, like, it's kind of hard for me to enjoy what Mellencamp became later because they simplified the drums. Like, it's not even close to what Kenny used to play. I didn't mention Chickenfoot when I said about Chad Smith. I don't know, do you know Chickenfoot?
It sounds familiar.
It's him, Joe Satriani, is that?
Satriani?
Yeah, I think that's who it is. And bass is Michael Anthony, and singer is Sammy Hagar. It's like a super group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I think, I've definitely heard of that.
But there was actually a time where Chad Smith was doing stuff with Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they got Kenny Aronoff. So, like... He's super respected. He played on, this is how wide of a spectrum he has. He played on Avril Lavigne's one album, the one with Girlfriend, I forget what it's called. All the Best Damn Things or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's just all over the place. He played on a Johnny Cash album. Like, he's
just everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's a pretty much a session player.
Yeah.
He just...
Some of the best drummers.
Mellencamp just liked him, I think, and had him for a good 20 years. So, mm-hmm. That guy, I think he just, before I even knew that I liked drums, he was just my favorite drummer even before that. So,
yeah.
I had to put him in here.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, you were basically kicking.
Yeah, basically.
In your mom's tummy.
Like, yeah.
Kicking to the beat.
I went over to, you know Easy Tiger. You've seen Easy Tiger play, right?
Yeah.
Went over to Pink's house, and he has like a bar. He had a little bar. And up on the wall, we were just, you know, BSing, having a good time. And I looked up, and there's a fucking signed picture of Kenny Aronoff on the wall. And I'm like, whose is that? And here it's the drummer of Easy Tiger, Ian.
Yeah.
And, like, I just stared at him like, that son of a bitch got to, got to meet him. Like, came to his school or something, like a college or something. And, nice. Yeah, you got to meet him and get a signature and stuff, so... I don't know. He's awesome. I'll have to show you his stuff because he's great.
Definitely a big influence on you.
Yes.
All right. Was that number four?
I don't remember.
Pretty sure.
Yes.
One, two.
Yes.
Three.
So this will be your four.
Wait a minute. What happened here?
Don't forget you put an extra one in.
I only have three left. So, let's see. I'm going
to... So, your 6.5 was actually your 5 and on and so forth.
Yeah. So, we kind of switched.
So,
you go ahead and say your
third. I'll go ahead and go give number three, and then we'll be back on track. My number three, this is also kind of a recent thing. Like, I'm not a super fan. It's really just legacy why I put them so high. But I absolutely love watching and listening to him also sing. But Ringo Starr from the Beatles. Like, I've been playing some Beatles songs on my, you know, I play along to the... Well, I find drumless tracks and then I play along. But I love playing, like, Come Together. I Want to Hold Your Hand. You know, stuff like that. It's...
Ringo Starr's a good drummer.
He's, like, very, you know, groundbreaking, really. He played harder than most people at the time, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, Let Me Hold Your Hand, like, it's open hi-hat, like, it's pretty fast, mm-hmm. like... Yeah, so...
Yeah. The whole band was really...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, super...
See they're a band...
Innovative, and... They really pushed the recording industry.
Like, there are bands that, limits. If you would ask me, like, say, like, when we used to hang out in college, back then I would have been like, the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about the Beatles, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm still a little bit like that. I mean,
I've come to have an appreciation for the Beatles.
I have an appreciation for them, but that doesn't mean I have to like them.
No. But I like their music. So...
Okay, Ringo Starr. All right, this is probably gonna be your number one. But this is my number three, and that is, you might as well just say it,
Mike Portnoy.
Mike Portnoy, formerly of Dream Theater.
Not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Formerly of, well, you...
You want me to run down the list?
You at least knew that I would guess that Mike Portnoy was your number one.
Right.
So, it's not necessarily your number one.
Yeah.
But you knew that I would say it was your number one.
Yeah,
let's run through the list. Formerly Jesus of Dream Christ. Theater, formerly of...
Adrenaline Mob. Currently still of Flying Colors.
Okay.
Currently still Winery Dogs. Neil Morris is his solo band. He's the drummer of.
Okay.
There's
still more.
Transatlantic.
Oh, I did hear that one.
Sons of Apollo. They're a current band. Haven't done anything in a while. I think that's all I got.
Okay.
Formerly of Avenged Sevenfold.
Anyway, Mike Portnoy, one of the most insane drummers, rock drummers of our time. Obviously involved in so many different projects.
Oh, yeah.
He's got so many different styles.
Yep.
But really, I don't know about you, but when I hear a song, I can tell it's Mike Portnoy on drums.
Yeah.
Like, just because he's got such a distinct sound and just style.
And hence why I love the Nightmare album by Avenged Sevenfold.
Absolutely.
Like, Nightmare itself, obviously, the song, you know, is very good. But the whole album is Welcome to the Family. Like, is there a heavier song?
Yeah. No.
I mean, there is, but, but I really like that one.
All right.
More on him later.
We're on number two, Mike.
Number two?
Yep.
Well, I guess I'll give away what number one is. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, everybody's going to know. It's probably my same number two.
I don't know. I'll be kind of surprised if it is.
Let's say it at the same time. Let's just see if it's if we're on the same page. I'll say my number two and your number two at the same time.
Okay.
Right? One, two, three.
Lars Neil Ulrich. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Lars Ulrich?
Lars Ulrich.
Oh, boy.
Again, we were going for...
I probably would have... Actually, I should have put him in my honorable mentions. I do like Lars Ulrich.
Yeah.
But let's hear what you have to say.
So, when I started playing drums in summer of 2008 after high school, and so I had a job, so I bought, basically, over the span of, like, a month, I bought the whole discography of Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
Who, for people that know me now, you know, that, I mean, that is my favorite band. Like, Metallica every day. So, specifically, this is where the hate comes in. I specifically really liked, still like, and it's very divisive. I don't even know if that's the right word, because it's probably not harsh enough. I like Saint Anger.
There's the big reveal. That was the first album you heard, wasn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it's just the first one you hear. That's
the first one happens. I heard, like... I remember seeing the video for Saint Anger on MTV in 2004 when it came out. Or three. Shit, what year was it? I don't know.
I don't remember. It was the early 2000s.
I think it was 2003, actually. But that's the first song I heard by them. I'm like, wow, this is like heavy and aggressive. And, you know, they look cool in that one, whatever. They're at a prison. It looks hard as, you know, whatever. But so fast forward, like I never owned the album until I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
So the album I bought, you know, the Saint Anger album, had a DVD with it, and I still watch it today. It's just them playing every song on the album live, like in their HQ headquarters.
Yeah.
Which it sounds better because like the snare isn't what it is on the album because that's what everybody hates. But that album specifically, I guess, what I'm trying to get to is that album, that's where I learned basically to play drums. Like it coincided with me learning how to play drums.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff was a little more simplified on there compared to some other Metallica stuff.
Yeah.
So I credit that album to me learning to play drums. So...
Well, if it's good for anything.
It's got one thing.
It's got one thing.
Made me learn how to play drums, I guess. I didn't really play to it. Like, I just studied what he did.
Yeah.
And basically...
Just picked up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... But then, obviously, like, I just love Lars.
Yeah.
Fuck Napster.
Cheers, Lars. All right. Well, I already said it. I don't know if it came through the microphone or not, but my number two is Neil Peart.
Peart.
Also, rest in peace, Neil Peart.
Peart.
He was a big influence on me when I first started playing as well, because He's just amazing. And I always wanted to focus on more of the technical rather than just let it flow. Which kind of actually made my drumming a little rigid. So I had to branch out and try to make it more fluid. You know what I mean? But just watching him, you know, playing his songs, Rush songs.
Yeah.
Even on Rock Band, playing Rush, they were some of the most fun songs to play on.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I don't have the appreciation for Rush that you do, per se. I enjoy Rush. My knowledge is not vast.
Right.
Yeah,
I think at one point I downloaded the whole discography and just listened to it forever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs I actually don't really care for.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just insane. And just Neil Peart's performance is always flawless, seems like.
Yeah,
he always strove for perfection.
One of my favorite songs, it's probably not even like, to a Rush fan, I don't even know where it sits, you know? But The Trees, I always like playing The Trees.
Yeah. No, it's an awesome song.
I always like that song.
It's one of their, I don't know.
I feel like it's more obscure, but I could be wrong.
It's a little obscure. To be honest, I don't even... I've heard several different theories of what it's about. Never actually looked up if any of them were true.
I don't know.
But anyway.
I don't even know the lyrics, but...
Oh, well.
Do I even need to look at my list? No, I don't.
No, because we're on number one, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, as you can tell, he was right on my number one. So, before you say... after I talk about Mike Portnoy some more, I will tell you what Bo's number one is, because I know.
I'm sure
I've known this whole time. I knew before we even walked into this room. I knew before I even brought up this idea to Bo what his number one was going to be. So, anyway...
everybody,
I don't even know what we even said about Portnoy already. Everything, really. He's just my favorite. I love watching him play anything, whether it be the proggiest of prog stuff with Dream Theater, or tell you the truth, I actually like his more rock stuff better. Yeah. Like I like
where
that
he's just
he,
doing a straight back beat most of the time.
Yeah, just the time. Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you an influential story for one of his albums that he did with Winery Dog's first album. He does this one fill pretty frequently. It's where you do two on the bass drum and then two on the snare, but you do that over and over again.
Oh, yeah. You alternate them. Yeah. That was really fun to learn.
Yeah.
To do that.
So he did it quite a bit on that album. So I incorporated that fill into everything I did in the Red Cadet. So
yep.
That was a pretty big influence as well. So yeah, Portnoy's my favorite.
Even watching him play on a little Hello Kitty drum kit.
Oh, phenomenal. He made that kit sound better. He didn't get his damn Pokemon kit, though. What the hell, Loudwire?
Come on.
He specifically asked for the Pokemon kit with the purple star, I think. They gave him the orange star.
The purple star, that's right. Starmie. Oh, man.
But, I don't have much else to say. Mike Portnoy's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of stole it from him a little... because he was my number three.
That's fine. We ran down all of his bands.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still kind of sad he left Adrenaline Mob. They're not even a thing anymore.
No. Because
that band was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I forget his last name. Russell something or other was a singer. Phenomenal singer. He was in... oh, crap. I almost said Static X, which I know is not right. Symphony X.
Symphony
X. I knew that.
I think I've heard of Symphony.
Yeah, I don't know much about them, but phenomenal singer. Mike Orlando on guitar. I don't know how that dude isn't one of the most talked about guitar players ever. He does shit that I've never seen. Yeah, great band. Great drummer.
Great drummer.
And Bo's number one.
All right, what's my number one, Mike?
Danny Carey.
Danny Carey. Absolutely. Tool, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Danny Carey. What can I say? He's insane. He's also got a few other projects. Can't think of them right now. Because I never really got into them.
Right.
But as far as my favorite style of drumming, it's got to be Danny Carey. Kind of goes back to what I was saying about Neil Peart.
And Peart.
And the technicality of drumming and just the way that Danny Carey can play in odd time signatures and it be almost natural to him. It just has always impressed me.
I can't fathom.
Yeah, it's just always been very impressive. I love his sound. He really hammers those drums when he wants to, which is most of the time. But he can also work in a lot of dynamics too. So
yeah,
just overall.
Unfortunately have nothing to add to Danny Carey because I was watching for a while this one video of him playing one of the Tool songs. I think it starts with a P or something.
Maybe Lateralis. That was a video he did.
I don't know. Parabola? Yes.
Parabola.
I think it was.
Okay.
But anyway, it's just him playing, like, to a track or whatever. But it was just interesting to watch him play it, so.
Yeah.
But that's my knowledge of it. I don't even really like.
He's a really tall dude, too. I mean, he's
got. He does look tall.
Long, lanky arm. Well, not lanky, actually. He's kind of jacked, too.
Yeah.
But, and other than that, just from interviews I've seen, he just seems like a really cool guy, like just someone you could just
meet
and just hang out with. You know?
I have the same thoughts about Portnoy.
Like, yeah,
I would just love to hang out with that guy and talk about music.
Right,
not even drumming, music,
just music.
yeah. So yeah, that was our top 10.5. Plus no, yours came together because. You miscounted, I guess.
Yeah, I did. I don't know how I did that.
But anyway.
I should have numbered them.
It worked out. It's all good. Let me know down in the comments below your favorite drummers. Because it's not really top 10 of, like, a specific, hey, they're the best. But, you know, we just wanted to talk about our favorite drummers.
Sure.
So, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe. And we will catch you next time on whatever show you're watching next.